Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, we have twice the guests, so I'm twice as excited. Please let everyone know who we have got with us today.
Well, to kick off a month of Queen's Choice, she's America's sweetheart. You know her from Get Shorty and Corporate. We got Pam Murphy, as
Yay.
Well as, hold on, save your yays for the back end. He's an actor, improv teacher, and host of the podcast I Will Write Your Book. It's Will Hines.
Yay.
Together.
Yay.
Hey guys, welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being our victims.
Yes, you're our first return guest, I believe.
Oh, thank God. That's true. Thank God. I'm honored.
Yes, that's true. Well, it's maybe not for an honor, but it's all right. So let's talk about what we're doing this month, Mark.
We're doing, it's called Queen's Choice, where John and I are picking the movies. And this is the first week. And spoiler alert, this is John's pick.
Yeah. Shocking. Very shocking.
Shocking. It's something old and dusty.
Mm-hmm. Like my vagina.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's not my word to use. It got me thinking. I've been listening to a lot of disco lately, and I have been thinking, like, because this is a very, like, disco-y movie, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's safe to say. And don't you think at this point, though, it's safe to say that disco has aged better than punk music?
What?
Because, like, the whole disco sucks movement was rooted in, like, homophobia and racism.
Yeah.
Then everyone says disco sounds the same, but then I counter the Ramones.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, well, so the Ramones are kind of just okay, I guess, when you...
No, I'm saying it's okay that they sound the same.
Right.
That all those songs sound the
same. Right. They criticized disco for sounding the same, but those people didn't get mad at the Ramones for being the same every song.
Right.
Yeah. Or you ever heard a Chicago album? My gosh.
I think disco definitely, it became like accepted as hip by everybody.
Yes.
I
think disco also like entrenched itself in like because it became such a wedding staple, it just became something that was never going to go away.
Yeah.
And it was so.
Do you think you'll go to a wedding and not hear disco music ever?
Yeah.
Not any wedding I'll dance at.
No.
And it was like kind of fancy or kind of like elitist, like to go to like Studio 54. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Compared to.
Sure.
I guess, like, you know.
But not every disco club was fancy.
I think, like, just pop music in general was, like, seen as, like, not cool by the classic rock fans.
Right. It was more classic rock.
Like people who liked like 60s guitar bass stuff were like, that's the only real rock music.
Progressive thinkers.
But here, and then, like, here's Aerosmith, Alice Cooper coming together in a disco movie.
Well, Pam, I think that's as good as a segue we're going to get. We're on a bit of a time crunch. So today, in case you hadn't guessed, we're talking about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. John, what's the deal with this movie?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with this movie. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band came out in 1978. It was directed by Michael Schultz. It was written by Henry Edwards, loosely adapted from an off-Broadway play called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band on the Road. It stars an ensemble cast that includes Peter Frampton, the Bee Gees, George Burns, Sandy Farina, Donald Pleasence, Steve Martin, Alice Cooper, Billy Preston, and Aerosmith. And it tells the story of a band as they wrangle with the music industry and battle evil forces bent on stealing their instruments and corrupting their hometown of Heartland. And only George Burns is the only person who speaks lines in the movie, and he's there just to clarify the plot and provide narration. And the whole soundtrack is new versions of Beatles songs, drawn primarily from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and Abbey Road. The movie was a minor box office success and earned $20.4 million on a budget of $13 million. However, the critics hated it. Janet Maslin wrote that watching it feels like playing shuffleboard at the absolute insistence of a bossy shipboard social director. David Anson of Newsweek dismissed Sgt. Pepper as a film with a dangerous resemblance to wallpaper. Oof. That is the deal with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Well, John, you picked this movie.
I did pick this movie.
So
I did.
Why Sgt. Pepper?
Well, first of all, when we came up with this idea of doing Queen's Choice, I said, well, I want to bring back some of our people who had some of the lowest scoring movies in our category. And so, Will and Pam, you are at the very, both of your movies, if not at the very bottom, they're near. They're in the bottom five. So I was like, all right, I want to show them, like, this is what a gay movie is.
Okay.
That's also happens to be a straight movie. Also, Will Hines, I know, is a huge fan of the Beatles, and this is a movie that he has never seen. We have talked about
what?
It. So I thought, like, yeah, this is a good thing for him. And then I knew just from knowing Pam Murphy that she enjoys this movie. So I thought,
I love it.
And also, they have chemistry that is dynamite. Mm.
Yeah.
So I thought,
let's probably already overwhelming the listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that is why I chose Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Now, I know this is not a good movie. But it's a movie I saw many times as a child.
Yes, me too.
And I knew
HBO.
It would do 100%. Yeah, it was one of those HBO movies where, like, they paid for it for a month and they just showed it constantly. And so I thought, I actually think this movie, despite not being a very good movie, it has, like most musicals, has like some little gems where you can be like, oh, that number's great or that number's great. But I do think it will do well with our scoring system.
It will
so
do well.
So
it.
You are just look. You don't think it's good. You don't even like it. You just
I
think it's
enjoy,
going to do well.
I enjoy moments of it. There are definitely treats and delights to be had within it. If overall,
like corns
it
and a
work.
Turd. There's little
exactly.
nuggets.
Yep, that is you. Exactly precise. You got it completely.
Will and Pam, it sounds like, what's your experience? Well, Pam, sounds like you've seen it and love it.
Yes, I loved this movie as a kid. It was very nostalgic. I was obsessed with it. I got the album, the soundtrack to this. And I loved it. I loved Peter Frampton in it. I was like, that was like, I was like really little too. Like too little to have a crush on a man.
You had your sexual awakening to this movie?
Yes, to Peter Frampton.
Pam's libido comes along.
And for once. Oh, it's been decades. Decades. Oh, God. I loved it. And then rewatching and I was like, this is so good. Earth, Wind, and Fire, fucking, they kill it. There's so
totally
many good things in it. I think it's great. And then there's also so many stupid things, like pitching this movie.
What?
I mean, while pitching this movie, you're like, we got a horse on roller skates. We got everything. Yeah. There's so much going on. It's so bananas. Mm.
Will, what did you think?
Okay, so I had not seen it as a kid. I am a huge Beatles fan. I'd heard this movie was like really bad, and I've heard it like put down by everybody. At some point, I saw like the listing of like who did which song. Like I saw like Steve Martin did Maxwell's Silver Hammer and stuff, and I was like, oh, that sounds like it could be kind of fun actually. And then I finally saw it a couple of months ago.
And
it's really bad. It's like sort of like surprisingly boring, but I liked all the songs. I actually thought the songs were like pretty good or like they were either good or interesting or kind of fun. Like almost all the tracks I thought were like good to listen to. Like if you just gave me the soundtrack and I listened to that, I'd be like, oh, this sounds like it could be good. I mean, they're definitely like real disco-y sort of 70s takes on Beatles songs, but I don't mind that. I think that's kind of fun. But then the movie is just so insanely dumb. When I was watching it, I was like fascinated by how bored I was. I was like, why am I bored? I like these songs. The production of it's like pretty good. It like looks like a legit film.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like a shoddy movie. And Peter Frampton is like really cool, I think. I think he's pretty cool. I don't think he's like the problem with the movie.
No.
But like,
he's not the only one.
The story is, I guess, just so nonsensical.
Yeah.
And I think they were going for cute, like, who cares that the story doesn't make sense? It'll be fun. George Burns will just do it. And I was like, I care a little bit. Like, it's, there's just.
The story kind of makes sense.
I guess it makes sense. It's just
It's
just
they're selling their soul to come. They go to Los Angeles. They kind of like sell their soul. And then
is that ever a good story? I think that's like an actor's story. Like, we'll do a thing where people go to Hollywood and it ruins their lives. And I'm like, does anybody care about that except for the people in Hollywood?
I kind of wasn't sure why they had to get like the why were the instruments taken? Why were the instruments taken?
Yeah, the story's thin, but then very complicated.
But it's also like supposed to be this big theme, I think, of like robots
like
and industry,
on the business.
Yeah, hating love and just wanting money or something, you know. But it's those robots. Come on,
those
sexy
robots. They make up for a lot.
They do. And it's so much like people love robots. There's so much robot stuff going on. It's so crazy. And then his like bus is so hokey looking. But then inside it's like this, you know, the height of
technology
inside. It's so funny.
I had never seen. I knew I had heard that this movie was like one of the worst movies ever made.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think it's one of the worst movies ever made.
I said that's what I had heard. That's
beautiful.
Like the line. Sure. But I did see it, and I think I'm kind of like with Will. Like, it is like, it's super campy, but then it's also like really boring and deeply unfunny.
Yeah, maybe that's
like,
what
I don't think there's a single joke in one thing. And it's campy, but there's also no like strong female character.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like that's what's kind of missing from this. So like, and the music is awful until like Earth, Wind, and Fire shows up.
I don't mind it.
I don't think it's awful. I think there's, again, I think it's hit or miss. What do you think, Will? Like, as someone who's a huge fan of the Beatles, where
I
like that version of it.
I liked most of the songs. Like, I was kind of excited to hear new versions of them. Like, I
just felt it was like neutered to me. Like, it made like, it felt like it was Beatles by somebody who thinks they're solely defined by all you need is love. You know what I mean? Like, that's not all the Beatles were just like stupid hippies. Like, love, man, love. They were also like, I'm just fuck ups and like druggies and like, you know what I mean?
I think the only one that like bummed me out was the Nowhere Man by Robin Gibb. Let me look like, well, I think everybody loves the Aerosmith cover of Come Together and the Earth, Wind, and Fire cover of Got to Get You Into
Aerosmith,
My Life.
And then that Aerosmith performance. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Deeply upsetting.
He was,
As you probably know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge the gayest movie ever with a lot of categories. All right. So this is where our current top five stands right now.
Okay.
So number five with 76.52%, Funny Girl. Number four with 78.59%, Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born. Number three with 78.63%, Strictly Ballroom. Number two with 79.51%, Grease 2. And the number one reigning champ, gayest movie ever with 94.83%, Female Trouble.
I've never seen Trouble.
You got to check it out.
That's a hate crime that you haven't
seen. The other four I've seen, and I love those movies. Those
what
are really
was Will's
good.
Mm-hmm. movie that he saw?
When Harry Met Sally.
I think it's
the straightest movie that they've...
Nope. Kramer versus Kramer.
No, technically, I can tell you right now,
Kramer versus Kramer.
That was mine.
It is.
That was
so,
mine.
So devoid of joy and everything.
Goodwill Hunting and Harry Met Sally are tied for the bottom at 16.2. Kramer versus Kramer is one up from them at 16.12.
Oh, okay.
So both of you did pretty dreadful.
Yeah.
John, let me ask you, where do you think...
Can I just say that I didn't pick When Harry Met Sally either? Like, you guys just asked me to come on the New Year's one? Like...
We asked you to pick a New Year's movie. You chose When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, that's right.
You could have chosen 200 Cigarettes starring
you're right.
Courtney Love, which would have automatically scored better.
You're right.
So, John, where do you think?
I think, despite the fact that it is not good, the categories, the way the categories exist, I think it's going to, I'm not going to say top 10, but I'm going to say top 20.
Yeah.
It's going to be
you're working the system.
I mean, that's be a little,
it's the top 10.
Take a bigger swing than that.
All right. I'm going to say 15. Number 15. What? John. What do you say? No. What do you say?
You don't. I come on. I'll do better.
I'll say it's.
You think it's going to do better?
I'll
than
say it's going to be your number one gayest movie.
I think it'll be a top 10. It's not going to be number one. Absolutely not.
It's going to be real hard to beat a John Waters film. Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
First. Oh, and Pam and Will, you guys have to.
You guys
agree
have to agree
on
your score.
Oh, okay,
this
that's fine.
Is never going to happen.
Well,
I'll just give in to Pam
I know,
every time.
You
it's
going to
be.
Fair enough.
See,
all right,
I told
our
you
first
that, chemistry.
Yeah,
chemistry. First category.
Tell Hollywood. Tell Hollywood.
Yeah,
Pam, I'm gonna need you to shut
okay,
up.
Okay.
Our first category: homoeroticism. On a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
What is this?
Pam,
what is the rating?
0 to 100.
0 to 100, and 100 is good.
100 is very, the most.
I mean,
I say, okay, let's talk about when Peter Frampton and Steven Tyler are wrestling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very homoerotic.
Also, Frampton's just kind of strutting around the whole time, like just kind of sexy, and he's sort of androgynous in his look.
Yeah.
Do you think he's sexy?
Yes.
I dig like Peter Frampton.
Oh, my God. He's so sexy then, that time.
He does nothing for me.
Oh, my God. And then also when Steven Tyler and that other guy, I don't know, when they're singing in the microphone together, their mouths are so close together. Mm-hmm. But that other guy who's in his band, whatever. And then
to me, the most homoerotic moment was when Barry Gibb sings to his brothers, "I'd love to turn you on," while he's squatted in front of them and has his hands on their knees.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's 100. So it's 100.
I don't know if it's 100.
It's pretty
also
high.
Those scouts, like the,
yes,
boy,
the
scouts,
boy scouts.
The
scouts.
Adult scouts.
Yeah, the
I think,
adult scouts.
What do you think,
whole...
Pam? Like an 80? I think 80 is pretty.
I think 85.
All right, let's do 85.
I was going to say 90, so let's do 85.
Wow, 85.
I mean, because also...
I mean, I feel like movies that have actual overt homosexual love and sex should beat it, whatever the number we give is.
You don't mean beat it like leave the room.
Yeah, like this, just get
yeah,
out of here, scram.
Make like a tree.
Yeah.
Will.
They should, we don't,
so
there's no place for them. Okay. No, 85 for this, we think.
All right.
That's like a B+.
I'm going to say it's pretty low. I don't think it's pretty. I don't think it's a very homoerotic movie. I'll give it a 50.
50?
Well, because there's that 70s like sort of peacocking that happens a lot.
Right.
And like that very tight fashion. So like there's definitely like everyone's kind of trying to turn everyone on at all the time.
Right.
All times.
Imagine how much sex and coke was happening. Ugh.
Apparently there was a ton of, there's just like literally open bags of cocaine everywhere.
I believe it. You can tell by looking at
it. It all showed up on screen.
It's all there on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 35 in Homer. I don't really think it's that homoerotic.
I'm pump the numbers here.
Okay. I know.
We're gonna get much better as this goes along. This is a slow burn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not here, though. First, next category, actual gay characters.
Let's see.
Well, there isn't any real. Well, there's barely any characters in this movie.
Right.
Yeah, there's that. Uh-huh. Basically color forms, not characters.
There's Mean Mr. Mustard is played by a gay man, but his character is horny for a lady in the movie.
So that disqualifies.
He's definitely camp.
Yeah.
And then Billy Porter shows up, but he's not really a character. And he was gay
Billy
in real
Porter?
Life.
Billy
not
Preston?
Billy. Billy Preston, sorry. If Billy Porter showed up, this
would
be an amazing movie.
Wow.
But his dance, like his routine, oh,
that dance,
it was
is,
so good.
And those gold
that,
boots.
Oh,
he's amazing.
That
justifies the whole movie to me.
I
like,
know,
you
at
have
the
that,
end.
And then you end with
like,
the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band reprise with who is in that thing. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
It saves the whole movie, the last 10 minutes.
Really does.
So actual gay characters.
The last
well,
10 minutes is really
be
fun.
Maybe
I don't think
10?
Yeah,
10
so 10, because there's almost nobody that's overtly gay.
There's
in this
nobody. Should it be a zero?
Let's go 15 just for the 70s. Can we just say 15 because we just assume that
people were gayer in the
70s? Yeah, they were just, yeah. They were,
people were less likely to be closeted.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yes, I think so.
All right.
I'll also give it a 15.
Based on
just like the time. I think one of the Gibbs, the one who sings, what's the one with the long hair and no beard? Which one's that?
Robin.
He does a lot of fun takes of the camera.
He does.
So yeah. I feel like if you were to make it today, they'd make him gay. So I'm going to give it a 15.
The person, Robin Gibb.
Yes, they would force Robin Gibb to be
gay. He actually goes to hug Maurice or whatever, his brother, and his brother's like, fuck off.
Enough.
I'm going to give it a 0 for actual gay characters.
Right, okay.
That is literally true.
Yeah. That's how I score by what is literally true.
Well, don't encourage this.
I like how I forgot that Mark is harsh on these.
I'm the mean one.
Yeah.
Mr. Grinch.
That's me. All right, next category. You're going to make up a lot of points here. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Everybody, I guess. Camp factor. On a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club?
95?
Yeah, I mean, you've got marching band uniforms. There's a waterbed that's shaped like a record. They used oversized money. There's a gong covered in lavender glitter. I'm gonna go 98. I think this is just as campy as it gets.
Wow, I have a list of all the campy things I noticed.
Let's hear it.
Okay, this is on the longer side. a marching band walks through the middle of a World War I battlefield and is not killed by either side. Setting a movie about the Beatles in small town USA, a cow wearing a hat, wondering if George Burns had any idea what was going on. Old people dancing, an obvious backlot. George Burns singing, see the people standing there and pointing to two children who are not standing there but sitting down. Using the song Getting Better over a scene depicting sexual harassment. Sex in a barn. A chance to see the lighter side of Donald Pleasance. A movie geared towards the entire family being really horny. Making your TV debut on a show called Big Disco and not playing a disco song. A really nice motorhome. Arriving in Hollywood and the first thing you see getting off the bus is an ad for your boyfriend's band on a billboard who then comes alive and makes out with a girl on another billboard. A Star Wars parody. Having the nerve to say the media is just propaganda for capitalism in a movie that couldn't be more of an obvious cash grab. Much like Jem and the Holograms versus the Misfits, in this you also want the bad guys to win because their music is better. Strawberry's very sudden and violent death. And finally, using Carry That Weight for a pall-bearing scene. To me, this is 100.
Wow.
It's
great. Wow.
Good.
Carry That Weight, that's what... In Across the Universe, it's a pall-bearing scene also. Carry That Weight is also pall-bearing in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And sometimes they were like on the nose with the songs, but then sometimes Good Morning was just about we're being as successful. Like they were just more like not so on
you
the
want
nose.
It all or one or the other?
Well, it was just weird. It was like pick a lane. I don't know.
How about when they first arrived in L.A. and then that like Egyptian window
Turn. The mannequins.
Yeah. Alive. Look, they're alive. It was like the weirdest things to look. Prostitutes, come on, look. Matching prostitutes.
All right, our next category. Over-the-top wardrobe.
Oh, this is also high, right? This is
95,
like,
at least. I'll say 95 again.
You got marching band uniforms.
Just say 100. I mean, they go all out for this,
okay,
right? I mean,
100.
I think they,
the Boy Scout uniforms, 100. Yeah, or Hitler
white
youth. I don't know what
body
that was.
Suit? Come on. Yeah. I could go 100 on this one, too. It's all just so broad.
Do you have any favorite ones?
I love the gold bodysuit that Billy Preston wears at the end. I love it when they're like are zapped by that weird blue electricity and are suddenly in like amped up versions of whatever they're wearing. Like that's always fun. Like just the fact that like electricity or magic heightens their wardrobe, I think brings
Did
it
you
up to the
think
top.
Speaking of that scene, watching this, I thought, "Oh, this isn't see, watching Steve Martin's song. I thought this is not funny. This is bad, right?" Was
Maxwell
I the only one
Zilberheimer?
Who thought that? Yeah, I thought that was like a little cringy.
I enjoyed it, I guess, and I also thought, "Oh, that's what Little Shop of Horrors
It's his audition for Little Shop
basically
of Horrors,
like
right?
lifted that for the dentist
song. I guess
song.
It's dialed down more on, or there's more of a sense of menace. Well, also, there's no characters in Sergeant Pepper.
I do
want to
say,
nothing.
Though, that I noticed when they put the left glove on him, it was backwards.
Yeah. And then, you think that wasn't intentional?
No, it was not intentional. And then later in the in another shot, it's on normal.
Wow.
Oh, oh boy.
And I was like, continuity. Oh, continuity.
That's disrespectful to the audience.
Definitely 100 for over the top wardrobe for that.
John, what are you giving it for over the top wardrobe?
100.
Did you say 100? I'm going to give it 100 for mostly for Earth, Wind, and Fire, who looked amazing.
Oh, I loved it.
Like, the lead singer was wearing, like, a glammed up kimono. Like, everyone seemed to
their
have, like,
outfits.
It was like,
that whole
it was
show.
Like all of It's a Small World in on one mm-hmm. stage, but with sparkles.
Yep.
Fun. All right, next category. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Sgt. Pepper and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
Like what?
What
Again, band. Billy,
the band. Anything Lucy wears is very drag queeny. The Diamonds, the band that plays the Diamonds, their whole outfit in that number is really fun and great. Everything, like all the outfits, like it's so over the top that I can't imagine.
Could Alice Cooper be an inspiration somehow?
Yeah, definitely.
And his like number,
yeah,
the mm-hmm. video he was showing,
yeah.
So he was
also,
turning. Like, Alice Cooper was
also
turning.
Also, in the finale, Dame Edna is in the very finale.
That's true.
And she has
Dame
inspired
Edna.
A
Isn't
whole
that
generation.
Crazy?
Generations
and Tina
of
Turner.
Queens.
Tina Turner.
And
Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman Jack, Sha-na-na.
Guys,
Burton.
there was a cameo category
Why
coming up.
There's a
cameo category.
Oh my God,
up.
This is going to go through the roof.
I just got so excited.
You know what's so weird about the Alice Cooper thing? It was like Alice Cooper was like, I have 2 hours to do this on a Wednesday. Like, it was like,
yeah,
he was like,
they let me out of rehab,
yeah.
is
right,
what they did.
This.
They let him out of rehab for a few days
so
to
funny.
Do it.
I thought his, like, up in, at that point, watching in the movie chronological, like his was like the first number I thought that was fun and good because it at least did something different with the songs.
What
like,
song did he do again?
Because.
Oh yeah.
Because I thought all the other ones were just like neutered. Everything like it was just like there was no like they were all like fluff. I don't know. I just hated the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton versions.
Well, the Bee Gees just came off Saturday Night Fever, so like.
They shot this Sunday morning.
Nice. See, that's why you're the host.
I like the Bee Gees versions. I mean, neutered, yeah, they definitely like de-rockified it and leaned into the harmonies more. But I was kind of interested to hear that. I mean, I don't know.
Would you ever listen to them again?
I did play that soundtrack again. Yeah.
Well,
I guess I like the songs enough that any kind of different take on it musically is interesting to me.
Sure.
So
I think musically is not where this movie is falls flat.
Yeah, the songs are not
the
problem.
75% of the songs was pretty flat for me. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. I'm giving it 75 for drag queen inspiration. Because I think a lot of the stuff.
What did we give it, Penny?
Like, I don't think we went.
Everyone
yet.
Else gave it 100.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Yeah, you said 100.
Sure.
I did think the eye looks. And Peter Frampton's fake tears.
Oh, the eye looks of the... Oh, mm-hmm. the fake tears.
The fake
so
tears.
Yes. Really?
But I thought there's something there a drag queen can use, like just accentuate like
yeah.
fake sadness.
But yeah, Lucy's eye makeup was really...
Oh, yeah.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
All right, next category. Always a crowd favorite, this one. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
See, here's what I would say. If I'm talking to a gay person and they're like, I've never seen it, I'd be like, okay, what do you think of Phantom of the Paradise? What do you think of Apple?
Love,
what do you think of Jesus Christ Superstar?
Never seen it.
Like, if you like these movies, this is of that world. And there's, again, like, it is a hit or miss proposition. There's stuff that doesn't work, but they're definitely, like, numbers that I feel like people will enjoy. And you'll be like, oh, I like that moment. I like that, you know, whatever, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Billy Preston, you know, there's a lot of individual numbers where you're like, it's not a total watch, but it's not. But I would say watch those other three movies first.
Absolutely. Although I've never seen Jesus Christ Superstar. I guess I said it's disco-y. Who knew? With
the
Jesus?
The movie one, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, do the original one from the 70s, not any of the later recordings of like.
Maybe.
I would never.
What do you say, Will? 65? 50?
I would say 50.
What are you basing that on?
I would say it's like 50-50.
it kind of like has the art direction and like
it does have good art direction
and the like kind of and the campy sort of aesthetics of a more fun movie, but it doesn't come through on the actual jokes. So yes. I'm like,
yeah.
I guess if it was a, if it's a, I would recommend it to someone gay who's a Beatles fan. I'd be like, you'll find this interesting, I think, is what I would say. You'll be interested the whole movie.
I agree definitely in that, like, what's interesting about it is less about entertainment and more about interest. You know what I mean? Like, what, why to see it is less about, like, oh, it's great, and more like, it's interesting to see what they do here, and it's sort of interesting to see how camp can be dull in some ways.
Because you're mostly laughing at it.
Yes.
For the most part.
And trying to think about the decisions that went into, like, and, like, people thinking this movie is going to be great, and, like, I kept thinking about the meetings that went into planning this movie and, like, wondering what I would do differently. But that's still being engaged, even if it's on, like, a meta level.
Sure.
But if everyone's so just doing bags of Coke, they're just like, yeah, and that too, and that too.
They're saying,
you know,
yes,
they're
to
not
the dress.
Really. It's so weird because, like, in the beginning of the movie, it's like they're kind of doing, like, there's weird speeded up stuff, or there's like, yes, weird stuff that's kind of like, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like old Beatles movies when they made those weird movies. And I was like, yeah, oh, that's kind of what this is like. And then, and like weird wipes, you know, like, yeah, edits. But then they just stopped doing that. It was like really weird that it happened.
I feel like there's always guys who like develop movies and TV shows, especially at this time, who just have seen those early 1970s like variety shows like Sonny and Cher's show and Johnny Cash's show and the, like, I don't know. There was like this time when like Harvey Korman would be like in every, on every night doing sketches with like Kiss would show up and play a musical number, and then like,
right,
and then like, there's Phyllis, and then Phyllis Diller then, yeah, would come out and do like a legit number and then be in a dumb sketch that nobody had rehearsed. And they were just like, that kind of just loud energy equals comedy for a bunch of like development people. Like before Saturday Night Live rose up into the awareness of people over the age of 40. And we're like, no, people want actual jokes.
Right.
It's not enough to just put us to just to put us.
Not enough to just be weird.
You can't just have Liberace come out with Tim Conway and like bake cupcakes. Like, there's got to be.
Why not?
That sounds great. Actually amazing.
Yeah,
pitch that to Quibi.
So, what are you guys going to give this for a recommended gaze? I heard a 50.
50.
I would say 50.
50. John,
I'm going to give it a 65.
65. I'm going to give it a 10. I would not recommend it.
Okay.
I think there's, ultimately, I found it boring. It's definitely campy, but the most of the time you're laughing, it's just mostly bad.
But it also
really
depends on the age
deeply,
of the person.
Deeply, yeah. It's deeply unfunny. And it needed dialogue. I felt like if there was dialogue, it would have been even more campier. Because I would love to see Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees have to do a scene.
Yeah.
Right. It would have been,
that would
terrible,
have been more interesting to me. Exactly.
It would have been so bad. Even like when they're like pantomiming and like, go over there. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
What
it's
happened?
A weird decision to not have any of your characters say anything.
Right.
That's like a weird decision.
Yes. All right. Our next category, the male gaze. On a scale of 0 to 100, how horny is the camera for the male form?
Hmm.
Like, pretty horny, right?
I think
mean,
pretty
like,
horny.
It's kind of horny. There's a lot, not again, really, the form-fitting clothes. You see a lot of chest hair in this movie.
And
you get
also,
a lot of
like,
it.
There's a really great, there's some really great ass shots. Mm-hmm. Like, especially
I feel like
when,
for me, that's more for the, that's more the fashion of the time and not so much the camera, the director's intention behind the camera. I don't think he's, the director's doing anything especially to highlight the male form.
But if there are attractive,
I mean, there's a lot of wide shots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything to highlight the male form.
Hmm.
I don't know.
There's a lot of
peacocking.
I noticed a lot of bulges. Like the camera's looking up at them and their bulges are accentuated.
Okay.
Right. Like when they're watching Earth,
Wind,
and Fire, and
you said it's been decades, Pam. Decades.
Decades. Decades.
Let's do.
Since you've last seen
I saw a bulge.
What number are you
thinking
for this, Pam?
I saw a bulge. I was awakened. Okay. The male gaze. I don't know. 60.
Okay, I'll go with 60.
60.
Yeah. I mean, we also have Boy Scouts dancing in tight pants.
So
I'm
tight.
Gonna go. So tight. I'm gonna go 68.
68. I believe this director scene comes off really straight. I'm going to give it a 30. There's a few things, but I think that's just accidental.
Okay.
But it's going to make up some more points here. Entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, yeah. Big time, right?
There's like, a lot.
Yeah, ton of them.
I think 100
Earth,
here.
Wind, and Fire.
Just musical numbers. And then
just like a marching band coming out in the middle of World War.
Even the arrival of the chorus and the very final sequence of the film, although they don't technically physically enter, they enter the film with just like, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is this?
Yes.
Yeah.
95?
100, let's go 100 on this.
100, all right.
I'll go 95. I think it's all pretty like... I mean, musicals tend to be very announcy in with characters, so yeah.
John Flynn should have been my partner.
Huh. I'm also going to give it a 95. They're pretty crazy, especially Earth, Wind, and Fire enters their show in like tubes from space that get lowered down, and then they exit. That's crazy.
That's the definition of pizzazz.
That's pizzazz for you. All right, next category, dramatic lighting.
Wow,
there's
a
bunch. I mean, they have all the performance lighting
in the musical numbers. Like, there's a lot,
and there's like a lighting change in the middle of the Steve Martin number when they like come in, then they go dark, and then they're using like lightsabers or whatever.
Yeah, they have a lot of weird lighting effects too. All that like
the drug orgy scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because Alice Cooper's the Nowhere Man, when there's that weird moment where Barry Gibb like spots the drum and he gets like a Morticia Adams effect on his eyes.
Yeah.
But on the con side, I did think like the outdoor scenes were all pretty bland, especially in the opening where they're going through every decade. Like every decade looked exactly the same lighting wise, and I thought that was an opportunity to stretch.
You know what's so weird though about the outdoor? All the outdoor scenes have that weird diffused 70s
glow,
like blue from like, you know, whatever, like Bad News Bears looks like that too. Like all those movies.
It's like a haze.
Yeah, haze. I guess it was smog in LA that gave it that color.
Heartland, USA.
Yes, it was in Heartland,
USA. And
were
the Bee Gees from Heartland?
Yes. Maybe that's why they didn't have them talk. I guess that's why they didn't have them talk, right? It would have ruined it.
That wasn't with those accents.
Yeah, they would have blown it.
And they were auditioning to be the new Sgt. Pepper band, which there hadn't been in like 50 years.
No, it was that Billy was like, just pick them.
I did not understand how this system worked.
His grandfather was the thing, and so he got the medal or whatever.
Does that matter?
Yeah, that right away the movie was losing me on that stuff.
The other two, I mean, so Barry Gibb's hot. The other two Bee Gees are ugly, and they were so famous. Like, you would never have that now.
You could be ugly back then.
You could be ugly and be everybody would be like, yes, this bald guy, hooray.
Yeah, hooray. If you showed up, you couldn't be an ugly band anymore.
You just can't. You can't be an ugly band.
They were an ugly Jesus band.
They were.
Maurice was hot. The other two were ugly.
Not Maurice. Maurice wasn't hot.
Barry.
Barry was hot. Barry knew he was hot. Sorry. Everybody was like, he's the front man. He's the hot one. And then
his hair is wild.
He had the best hair.
Yeah.
He wasn't that. Dramatic lighting. What do we want to do? Dramatic lighting.
Well, there's a lot. So what do you say, Will? 95?
I feel like, to be fair, it should be like 80 because it's either like all or nothing.
Okay.
So 80. I think it like it still dominates your because of all the musical numbers, but there's these. I think 80 is the fair number.
Oh, fine.
Thank you.
80.
We got along.
I'm going to
go
86.
86.
Okay.
I'm going to go 70
because
it wasn't. It was predominantly bland. Okay. All right, next category: strident women.
Wow,
I think Lucy was pretty strident.
There's Lucy, and that's about it.
I think the mom. I mean, I get it. She's a mom, but she just seems so like
a doormat.
Tell you, yeah,
a doormat is strident to you?
She's
literally walked over.
I think she tried to weaponize her tears, which I found strident.
Hello, white women.
Weaponizing her tears.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think you're just making that up, but okay. It's really just Lucy.
I think it's low.
Yeah, I mean, there's not that
I think it's like maybe 30%.
Yeah, I mean, Strawberry is not very strident.
Not at all.
No. I mean, if you look at the number of women in the movie.
I guess she was like, I'm going to go get him. I mean, and her bedroom. Oh my God, Strawberry.
What do we get for Tina Turner? What about Tina Turner being in the chorus at the end?
Tina Turner? Sure. She seemed pretty
strident. There's tons of strident women in the last 5 minutes.
Doesn't quite dominate the film, though.
No, not at all.
If you ever like making a Strand of Women movie marathon, I don't know if you would include Sergeant Pepper.
No. 30. What do you say?
What? Right, 30.
What network are you programming
tonight on Strident
Bitch
Women
TV? I mean, one that wants ratings.
Yeah.
What do you guys give it?
30.
30.
I'll go 35 because it's like basically one third of the women in this movie are sort of strident.
There's barely any women in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're saying the women, 33, are about 33% of the movie.
Lucy's a big character. I mean, she's not like.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 15.
Okay. Jesus.
All right. Next category. Macabre. How macabre is Sergeant Pepper?
Well, Alice Cooper's in it.
A lot of macabre.
Alice Cooper.
Donald Pleasance like literally looks into the camera and sings "Such a Dirty Old Man" several times. That's
really upsetting.
Mm. Someone dies because he's playing a trumpet that is shaped like a heart. That's kind of macabre.
And what can we talk about? Strawberry's death. She's strapped to this neon art thing, and you see her fall, and it's really scary looking.
Yeah,
because like it's clear, it's obvious, it's a mannequin, but at first it takes you a second to realize it's a mannequin. It looks like the camera's just captured like an on-set accident.
Is it macabre that George Burns looks on the verge of death the whole time, unintentionally?
Thought so. I thought he looked great.
But like he wasn't going to die for like another 40 years.
I know, but still, he looks like
40. He's still alive.
No, because it's 78, so this would have been...
He died 2 years ago?
More than that. Earlier than that, but...
We're splitting hairs.
He almost hit 100, because I know he was like booked to play like a huge stadium when he got up to be 100.
What about the scene when Steven Tyler like puts his scarf around Strawberry and like wipes his like sweaty hair against her face?
And Steven Tyler was like, I have to have my scarves on my microphone.
Right.
They have to.
If I don't have my scarves,
who am
I?
Yeah. No one will know it's me.
Macabre.
And those robots.
Those robots are pretty macabre.
Very upsetting.
Very upsetting.
They're basically wearing fetish wear.
They really are.
Mm-hmm. Someone being buried in a glass coffin, that's pretty macabre.
Yes. And they put her
on a
horse-drawn carriage. Mm-hmm.
This is like a fairy tale level of macabre. It's a lot. I'm going to say 90.
Okay, I'm down.
90. This is one of the most macabre movies you've ever seen. It's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely.
Well, I think in contrast, like the macabre moments are impactful. Mark's talking me down. 10.
Don't let him bully you.
I'm not bullying. Reacting is not bullying.
Nah.
What are you? You're
reacting
a snowflake.
Can't
if you can't handle
a tone.
Any,
there's a tone. You
you
know.
Can't handle any pushback from me.
Will can't handle any pushback.
Will
can't handle any pushback from anybody. He's like, you're right. I'm a failure.
That's true. I am.
I heard 90. I heard 10.
Well, Pam, what's the number here?
I say 90.
90.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I'll support you. I support you, Will.
Thank you,
Pam. I support
you.
I support our guest, but I'm going to give it a 70.
Mm-hmm. 70.
See, it's not bad. You're going to give it a 10.
That's what I should have said.
Mark?
No, I'm going to give it a 30.
Okay.
It's not that macabre. All right, next category. Wigs. Well, this would do better if there were women, but there are those prostitutes, the other women in this movie.
I know.
When they arrive
the robots. The robots have weird kind of wigs on.
Yeah.
They really do.
The robots
do. All the women in Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds are all wigs in that number.
Right.
But are these like iconic wigs? You know what I mean? Are these like great wigs?
I mean,
the prostitute wigs, that blonde wig.
I don't even know why they were like, well, she has to have a wig on for these prostitutes. So weird.
Also, the villain had that toupee that they used a lot for laughs.
Yeah.
Always funny.
Always hilarious. When a man is going
I feel like I overdid it with macabre and I have to make up for my...
No, you don't.
I'd say 70.
How about 40? Oh, you want to do 70?
No, 70.
70.
Those robot wigs are pretty iconic, I would say.
Lucy wigs, prostitute wigs,
yeah.
Toupee guy. That's more than your average movie.
We'll find out, won't we? we can see how it compares. So what are you saying?
70.
70.
I'm going to go 80 on wigs.
See?
80.
Told you, Will. I'm not trying to pump the numbers either. I'm not trying to pump the numbers because they had one of the lowest scoring ones, but, you know.
You guys are doing fine compared to your previous movies, don't you worry. I'm giving it a 35, giving it an average of 61.67, which is 20 points higher than Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh,
all right,
wow.
There you go.
All right. Oh, and here's Will's category coming back. Quips on a scale of 0 to 100. How are the quips?
Zero.
Zero. There's like no Zero. Good jokes in
Not
this.
A quip. There's not no... a quip to be had.
Wasn't that? I feel like there was like a pun somewhere. Like in one of like the computer
You feel
things,
like there was a pun
I
somewhere.
I feel like there's a sense of like a...
Do you have any evidence of
or
this?
Or even like the... like I think... When that one song was happening and all the Bee Gees run away and they have to come back and grab the brother who's still singing.
And you thought that was really funny?
And he stops. I thought that was sort of funny. He was like, oh, we're going now? I like that.
There's
and
a couple
a
quip. Of things.
It was a very That's dry a quip. British quip. Yeah,
but
yeah.
But like the
non-verbal did... pantomime was a quip?
Exactly. Yeah. the look to a camera. It's sort of like a quip of an eyebrow, if you will.
Right.
I won't.
They did look to the camera a little
you
bit.
You don't have to.
A couple of times.
I'll give it a 5 out of 100 for the look to the camera.
5?
Sure.
I'll give it a 10 for that.
10. I'm giving it a 0. There are no quips in this movie.
Wow, my last... Harry Met Sally had like 0 in so many categories, but rocked in quips.
That's true.
This is the opposite.
You're balancing out. There must be balance, just like Thanos says. All right, next category. Vibrato. How would you rate the vibrato in this movie?
I mean, there's a ton of it.
Well, John, how do we define vibrato?
We mean vibrato, yes, in the vocal literal meaning, but we also mean vibrato is like anytime you get something extra, anything they sort of give a moment a little more than it maybe needs, but you still like
oh,
it.
Oh, that's a ton in this movie.
Yeah.
Right? Even just things like...
I mean, it's a musical, so they're singing all the time. So there's tons of vibrato.
Tons of literal vibrato. And then also just like lingering on stuff unnecessarily because they didn't have ideas like happens all the time. Like the drug orgy, in a way, just the existence of that scene to me is vibrato. It's like,
yes,
just acting like drugs are a big deal and like a corrupting right. thing is like insane. And then
saying drugs are bad in a Beatles movie
I don't
is
know.
Like one of the most hypocritical things you could ever do.
Like, I don't know why they roofied Billy. He was going to sign the contract. They all signed the contract. It didn't make any right. sense. So yeah. 100?
Mm-hmm. For vibrato?
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely do too much of lots of stuff.
What do you want, Will? What's your number?
I think the real number is 75. Like
wow.
I just...
Okay, let's go 85 then.
The
let's meet in the middle.
Let's do 85. 85.
All right, 85. Now that's fair. Now we're being
That's compromise. I feel heard.
I feel seen.
Yeah, I feel like I am part of this.
Good.
I'm going to give it an 89 for vibrato.
So 89.
You know what? Wait. I'm gonna go. Excuse me. Hold on. I'm gonna go 95 because that finale is pure vibrato.
True.
Just all of those
the
extra
finale
people
is,
showing
yeah.
up.
Oh my gosh.
Wolfman,
like pure
Jack.
Unnecessary. Pure more than you need. Gwen
Bowser.
Burden,
Bowser's
Bonnie,
in there.
Steven.
We have cameos category coming up.
That's okay, but still they overlap sometimes. So that is my 95 for vibrato.
We should say though, right, the cameo they basically recreate the Sgt. Pepper album cover at the end with the current day.
Well, they're
going
to have to watch to find out.
Don't bother. Just look it up on YouTube. It's the same thing. I'll give it a 90 for vibrato. It is all too much and not one moment of good taste. All right. Next category, footwork. On a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate the footwork
100.
In Sgt. Pepper's?
No, Pam.
What? The footwork?
Well, we've got the marching band.
I mean,
is
this compared to, like,
horse?
Movies with tap dancing and stuff like that? Or, like, actual good dancing?
Okay, 90.
Yeah, movies compared
Billy
to
Preston at the end, that footwork
Billy
was
Preston
fucking
end,
phenomenal.
Yes,
also,
yes, that's
the
true.
Footwork
that's true.
Steve Martin's
Steve Martin.
Number.
Next was Silver
that footwork
Hammer,
was great.
There
it was
is
so,
a roller skating horse.
There's a roller skating
a horse.
Horse
roller skating.
Okay, yeah, that's
the,
true.
That Steve Martin number.
His marching band.
He's like, it's like so Broadway, so like old Broadway, like the footwork in that.
Watching that Steve Martin, I was reminded like, oh, this is why some people didn't like Steve Martin at the time. Like when he first, like he was considered like provocative. He was considered like too much because like, oh, he is like very grating. Like he's doing this affected voice thing and it's very annoying.
He like yelled everything he said on film for the first like 5 years of movies he did.
Yeah.
Hello.
And then we had our beloved Roxanne. When he finally calmed down and let us in,
he let the nose do the work.
So, what do you want to give us for footwork?
What do you want, Will? Since you hate my 100, even though I'm trying to sell it to you,
I'll go with you on this one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
100?
Okay. Yeah. I think Will's into me.
You definitely got to.
This is fine.
Will there, won't they? The question.
Won't
no
they
one cares.
Or won't they? Yeah.
Why would they?
I give it a 91 for footwork.
91.
See, I told you it was high.
John's a good dancer.
You're right, Pam.
I'm going to give it an 85 because I won't remember any single dance move except for Billy Preston.
Oh, that was amazing. That footwork.
So good.
It was so
good.
All
right. We have four more wheel categories until the bonus round. Will, you have time to stay for the wheel category?
Yes.
I think that would make sense.
Yeah.
All right, great. And these wheel categories are categories that are neither canon nor bonus. So, Pam, you'll find your shawls category on the wheel. So, John spins the wheel and we get.
We get. Facial hair.
Facial hair.
Oh, very
this
high.
This is high.
There's a lot.
Tons of facial hair in this.
You got the Gibbs, Alice Cooper.
Oh my gosh.
Got that mustache.
The evil guy. His
Cooper.
Weird. Oh no, the record guy.
BD,
yeah, BD.
Yeah, that weird sort of,
It is funny, like, watching, like, Donald Pleasance in this, like, after he had probably just done, like, Halloween.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't this after
Halloween? Oh my god.
78, so yeah.
It's so weird. Like, what an arc. That's range.
What do you say? Well,
100 for facial hair.
Okay. See how easy I am? I just go with it. I don't put up a fuss. 100 out of all the facial hair.
You sound just like me when you do that.
I know.
I'm going to go 92.
92, the year Batman Returns came out. I'll give it a 75. I don't think it's any. There's no like one great thing of facial hair, iconic facial hair.
Alice Cooper's mustache is pretty sweet.
It's fun. He's great. Facial hair was from Mission Impossible Fallout.
Okay. Is anyone on fire?
That is not quite how I have the category written down. Isn't it?
Okay. What do you have it? How's it?
Flaming gaze.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was. Is anyone on fire literally or figuratively?
If you say so.
You guys have to tell us what to rate.
I know. I have a literally or figuratively flaming queen. This is the Frank DeCaro category from Female Trouble.
Are
there literally or figuratively?
I think there's. We have
queens?
A zero in both of those, right? Because there's nobody really flaming, and there's nobody on inflamed.
I mean, yeah. Because how does Sandy die? She dies.
She falls off a thing.
So I think this is zero for this.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Is there any? All right. I guess I have to go zero as well.
It feels like there should be.
I mean, couldn't you say Mr. Mustard is like a bit of a flaming queen? He's not really gay, but he's like a bit of a queen. You know what I mean?
He has like a Louis Vuitton jacket.
That's true.
Okay.
So
25.
I'm going
25 for that.
To 10.
He is a flaming queen. He really was gay in real life.
Okay.
His character's not gay. All
right, 25.
But his character is camp. That's how they things in the 70s.
25.
All right, then.
25.
John, you're sticking with zero?
I'll go to 25 as well. You made such a compelling argument.
Okay.
I mean, when it matters, I'll speak up.
Yeah, when it matters.
When it's important.
Such an arbiter.
All right, I'll also give it a 25. Going to average a 25. Spin that wheel, John. Two more.
Gay icons.
I mean,
rough. That's almost none. I mean, only in
the
finale.
What are you talking about?
The
finale? You got Tina Turner. You got Cheetah Rivera. You got Gwen Verdon. You got Connie Stevens. You got who else am I missing?
So, I mean, it's so hard because they have.
I'd say Dame Edna is for straight people, not for gay people.
She's
for straight people.
But
don't you think?
Is
it's not for gay people.
I mean, isn't she like, don't people.
Gay people,
drag?
She's an icon within the gay community. I think gay people.
It's just
would all
so
know
tough because they're on screen for like
2 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
So how much, you know, weight can you give that? You know what I mean?
But there are gay icons in this movie.
And there are a bunch.
There are gay icons.
There are a bunch. Should we give it a 50? Just even though there's so many, we're dinging them for time.
Yeah, okay.
Hurry up,
What impact do they have in the film?
Time and you're taking up the most time.
It doesn't feel like it can be. It doesn't feel like it can be more than 30.
Hurry up, huh?
Because it doesn't feel like it can be more than 30. Because like,
okay, 30.
These very powerful icons
30,
are not.
All right.
Yeah.
30.
Oh.
30, John. What are you going to give
it? Look. Anytime you have. Cheetah Rivera and Gwen Verdon show up in a movie. I gotta go 85.
85.
Tina Turner.
If you want to see Carol Tina
Channing.
Turner.
We haven't said Carol Channing once. 90.
We have.
We got to go 90. I want to at least go up to 50.
All right, we'll go to 50. We'll go to 50.
All right.
If you want to see a movie where Tina Turner's on screen for 5 seconds, watch Sergeant Pepper.
I mean,
Pepper.
But her legs. Mm-hmm.
But I
Dynamite.
Mean, come on.
No, you guys should have stuck with 35. That's what I'm giving it. All right. Next category, John. Give it a spin.
I like the system you guys have.
Thank you. We haven't gotten to the bonus categories yet.
Non-traditional murder weapons.
Well, there's Maxwell's silver hammer.
Silver hammers. They're being attached to a sign.
Although, is he murdering them or just transforming them?
He's transforming them. Because
he transforms them. I don't know if that's really
does he
murder.
Try to, but they do get into that fight. Like,
yeah, and then
like
the silver hammers
fight.
Turn into lightsabers.
Yeah.
That's very non-traditional. And they could murder somebody.
But no one is actually murdered.
But that's what they're designed for. I think we can.
Sure.
I think that counts.
Okay.
So I say minimum 50.
All right. I'll go with 50.
Okay.
50.
I'm going to go a little higher because the, you know, the silver hammers being attached to that weird dollar sign. I'm going to go 75.
75. You've never seen such unusual murder weapons. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 45 because it's just not enough.
Why that dollar sign, too?
Because it was a corrupt music business.
Yeah.
It made you
not
think.
Like the, not like the producers of the movie of Sgt. Pepper. You know, those people did it for the art. This wasn't a crash tie-in. All right. Well, that takes us to the guest category. I think we didn't talk about how we're going to do this, John.
We
want to all do
beforehand.
A group think.
So typically, this is the part of this show where our guests add a category. So we weren't sure if you wanted to add one together, maybe revisit one of your old categories. Like maybe we want to redo Shawls.
Oh,
we
wow.
No
you really hate Shawls.
I don't hate Shawls.
I'd say they could pitch something, John, but also you are more than in your rights to trump whatever you want if you have something else because it's your movie pick.
Oh, well, I hadn't thought about something, so this will be bad.
Okay.
Pam, what are you thinking?
So what do you guys think?
We
what
put
do
our
think?
Guests
we
on
all
the
think
spot
together.
All the time.
I'm really bad at this. How about something called It's Not on the Page? Like a movie where they weren't counting on the script to carry it through and hoping just like personality and chutzpah would do it.
So like a bad script?
Like an on-purpose bad script. Like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. I guess that's just camp, right?
Here's what I'm thinking, hearing you say that, or like thinking about this movie specifically, like the fact that like there's so many people, like you have the Bee Gees pretending to be the Beatles and you have like all these artists pretending to be other people. And there's something very drag about like, oh, I'm going to dress up as I'm going to pretend I'm Madonna and do this number. I'm going to pretend I'm this person. So I wonder if there's something like performing someone else. Is there something?
Yeah,
to
well,
that?
We have
do
wearing
an
someone
an
else's clothes.
That's true.
Is there any impersonators?
We already kind of have a category like that.
That's
we're
true.
Gonna
impersonation.
And I was going to say like bravado, but I feel like that's already covered by other categories
well,
too.
What
so
about
I mean,
like
tight pants.
Hanging on performance?
Tight pants.
Or like letting it hang on
pants.
A performance?
Who doesn't like tight pants?
How about is Earth, Wind, and Fire in your film?
I don't know if that makes it
tight
clear.
Pants.
How about this? Do you have earth, wind, or fire?
That makes it gayer.
Yeah, I mean,
the
how
movie
many
2012
have wind in them?
Bulges.
Oh,
how about just bulges?
Wait a minute. What about
bulges?
What about
bulges?
Visible penis line.
Bulges or satin?
Bulging satin
pants.
I like bulges. What do we think of that?
Love it.
Bulges.
Because
I did
bulges.
Mention it earlier.
Bulges.
I did mention the bulges earlier.
You did. It's inspired
so
by you, Pam.
This is a tip of the hat to Pam.
Yes. I was talking about bulges, so I think that's why we were talking about bulges.
So what would you give Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band for bulges?
Ooh.
Pam, I defer to you.
Come on,
you
Will.
You don't see them, Will?
You,
oh, Will
wow.
doesn't
oh,
see bulge.
Blind.
I'm
Will
anti-
doesn't see bulge.
I don't see sex.
I'm going to give it, I don't know, I'm going to say 80 for bulge.
It helps being in the 70s.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it an 89 for bulge. Mm.
89. I'll give it 75. It's no sleepaway camp.
Bulge.
All right, bulges. So that brings us, we are about to go into the bonus round, but first we must bid adieu to Will Hines, who has other pressing concerns.
I am so sorry.
No, you're not.
Okay. I'm really sorry. I love you guys. Well. And John, thank you for picking this movie. It was fun to think
no
about.
Problem.
And Mark, thank you for being hard on and keeping it honest.
Someone's got to do the dirty work. Will, before you go, is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for?
Pam and I do a podcast called I Will Write Your Book. And it's It's just I'm a ghostwriter who has on weird clients who need books written, and it's all improvised, and Pam stretches herself to play a character who is irritated with me at all times. And it's
Pam, how do you pull that off?
Well, you know, it's hard because I'm so kind to Will, and I'm such a giving, caring person. Mm-hmm. Sure. I do want to say Will asked me, like, hey, to be on the first one, and then he asked me to be on everyone since.
You book it.
Pam books. That's what
I book, baby. Yeah. That's how you
that's
do it.
That's the Murphy guarantee.
Yep. I said, when can you do this? She's like, I'm available anytime. I was like, you're in.
You booked it. Will, where can they find this podcast?
It's called I Will Write Your Book, and it's on Apple Podcasts. And that's the best place to find it.
Great.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
We are great. He's leaving.
I'm leaving.
He's pushing the
button. Just leave.
Okay, he's gone. All right. So now we are into the bonus round categories.
Right.
So this, instead of 0 to 100, we're all going to give it 0 to 5%. And then the movie is not penalized for not scoring high. This is just added to the points they already have.
Oh, okay.
All right, so the first category, makeover montage. On a scale of 0 to 5%, how are the makeover montages?
Oh, there's a makeover montage, all right.
The Getting Famous one, where they get famous.
Where they get famous. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give them a 5.
A 5.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5 as well.
I mean, you kind of have to. All right, next category, angry phone hangups.
Well, no one really talks on a phone specifically, but there are some sort of like, get me the band, like, get me the instruments. I want them now. You know,
nobody
what I mean?
Says
like,
that. There's no dialogue in this movie.
But like on the computer,
there
screens,
are
a lot of that,
Western Union wires being delivered.
That's true.
That's my favorite character, the guy who shows up.
Yeah,
with
he's great.
I don't know. I guess you have to kind of give it 0 for angry hangups.
0.
I'm gonna give it 1 because I think there's like some stuff that sort of evokes a phone hangup. Mm.
Phone hang up evocation.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a 5, but you know, it's a something. It makes you
sure.
think of it.
It makes you, it reminds you of the time you hung up the phone angry.
Exactly.
I'm going to give it a 0. All right. This next category might be tough. Titular theme song.
Oh, well, it's got to be a 5.
You got to give it a 5. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They do it 3 times.
3 times. Hope you're not sick of that song. I mean, I'm not, but I did listen. They don't do Within You, Without You.
Or Lovely Rita. Those are like the two big ones.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I wish we could have asked when Will is here. They always say Sgt. Pepper's a concept album. What's the concept?
Mm-hmm. What is the concept?
What is just we're psychedelics and the songs blend into each other. And then we'll have a reprise of Sgt. Pepper. I think that's the concept.
Oh, yeah. Just that because there's a reprise. That's the
concept. There's no like story or anything. You know, there's no like.
No, I mean, clearly they try to make one. They try to.
Right.
Cobble one together.
Well, they didn't have anything to do with it, so who knows?
No, but I mean, whoever made this movie tried to cobble one from
it. Yeah.
All right, our next category.
Am I lame without Will?
No, you're
oh,
great.
Good.
You're blossoming.
Oh,
you're thriving
really?
Right now.
I don't need a man.
Yeah. No, everyone's saying you're so much funnier without him. Fun fonts. How are the fonts?
There's lots of fonts.
The opening credits.
Pretty fun.
They have like a lot of stuff like written in those flags in the grass.
Yes.
Flags in the grass.
Like the, you know.
Oh,
like
and like the garden, the hedges.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
yeah,
Mickey at Disneyland. Remember Disneyland, guys?
Oh, guys, remember?
Oh, never Can't again.
Go.
Never again.
Not until there's a vaccine.
And also the type that's like old timey silent film.
The silent movie.
Right, yeah, like
so
Enter
5.
Mr. Mustard.
5.
Or, yeah, stuff like that. I'll go 5 as well.
I will also go 5. They're pretty fun. Cheerworthy cameos.
5.
Well, I mean, 5. You gotta go 5.
You gotta go 5.
I do have. Didn't you think about half of the people doing that looked miserable, though? Like there was a gun to their head?
It looked like they. Well, I mean, it looked like they had 15 minutes to learn any choreography and they can only shoot it once.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
But it did look like kids being dragged, like take a photo with the fam, like teenagers being like, take a photo.
Well, apparently
with the
what happened was they sent out invitations to like hundreds of people and even said like, we'll pay for you to like fly out here and we'll put you up because they wanted this ending to be that absurd, to be like as absurd as it was. So I think I don't think anyone was like, like on jury duty doing the finale of Sergeant Pepper.
Some of them looked miserable to me.
I think some of them were like, what's going on here? Right. When do those bags of cocaine come back out? I think
I felt like they could have gotten weirder, because like in the actual cover, there's like people from all different time eras, and, right, you know, fictional character on, correct, the actual cover. Like, yeah, this one, they could have, you know,
it's so weird that they used Betty Boop in real there. People, that they use real people of that
well,
time.
It would have been great to do that, combine it with like impressionists. You know what I mean? Like have someone
Rich
doing,
Little.
Like, well, but you know, like, but like have someone doing one of those crazy impressions of someone who you wouldn't be able to get, but then also have Tina Turner.
Right.
Madam. Willie and Madam. What's
FDR.
The guy who did that?
Waylon Flowers and Madam.
Waylon Flowers, and where are they?
Yeah.
I'd say that for every movie.
Doing cocaine, I'm sure.
All right. Next category. Pool trouble.
Yeah. All those women when they first show up and there's all those women around the pool.
Oh, yes.
Seductive,
oh, my God.
Like,
I forgot.
Come into our bat. Yeah. Come sign the contract.
Five.
There's trouble afoot.
Oh, my God.
They're like the sirens, like,
I want
you know, tempting the sailors.
Yeah.
I want you so bad.
I thought those covers were so bad. Am I crazy?
I thought some of them were fun. I think
because I re-listened to Sgt. Pepper and Abbey Road today.
Well, then when you're listening to
oh, wow, thank
so
you.
Quickly.
But I also think, like, the Cirque du Soleil love was, like, is more adventurous with the material.
Well, they're using the recordings and sort of
yeah.
doing.
But you still have this like text that you're reinventing. You know what I mean? I feel like that's why I like the Alice Cooper and the Earth, Wind, and Fire version, because they're like, they make them their own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Bee Gees are so beholden to the originals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're whatever. Are they British or the Australian? I don't know
Australian.
What they are. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're yeah. just like so in awe of them.
So in awe.
Yeah. Where other people are like, I have an opinion.
I hate those people.
So
what do you want to give this for pool trouble?
Five.
A five?
Yeah.
This is up there with Gremlins.
Oh, no, it's not up there with Gremlins. I'll give it a four.
Four.
I'm not trying to bump
it
again. I'm not trying to bump my numbers.
Don't worry about
it. I'm not trying to bump.
You want where do you want this to end up, Pam?
Higher than Kramer versus Kramer.
Well, that's a given. That's no problem. You've already accomplished that.
I want to get it in the top 15.
Okay, we'll see. I'm giving it a 2.5 for Pool Trouble because it's just that one scene.
A decimal.
All right, next category. You can do it. Sassy best friend.
I think that one Gib, whoever it was who keeps doing the takes to the camera.
The drummer?
Sassy. The drummer, yeah.
And what is he wearing to the funeral? Like, he has, like, a little
scarf.
The
yeah.
thinnest scarf tied around his neck.
A one. I'll give it a one.
I'll give it a one as well.
I'm going to give it a zero. It's hard to be sassy when you're not talking. Story
true.
Of my life.
A lot of eye work, though, going on.
So yeah. much eye work. Speaking of eye work, bold lips.
Oh. I mean, Steve Tyler's in this movie.
Yes.
That's true.
There's a lot of, like, singing really up close to people. That's pretty bold and brazen.
There's such a weird kiss when they're getting the money, you know, when they're like rolling around in the money.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
When Shears and what's her name, Lucy.
Yeah, they like have such a weird kiss. It's like he's really going into really French deep, and she's like, "Oh, I didn't know we were doing that. It looks so
oh,
weird."
So that's going
oh,
on.
So that's happening. I don't know.
Okay. There was also the shot with when they're like signing the contracts at dinner, when like Barry Gibb and one of the girls are like both sucking on like a crab leg or something, like some metal meat tube. There's like the Lady and the Tramp style.
Oh, weird. You know what's
it's
weird
very
too
strange.
Is that Maurice Gibb is like licking the bottom of his boots in that scene. Like he's at the end
he
of the
must have
table,
just been
like
high out of their
and
minds.
His boots are on his hands or something. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Three.
I'll go three as well.
Three. I'm gonna go two. Could have been bolder. All right, next category. Witches. How witchy is Sergeant Pepper?
I mean, Billy Preston does bring Strawberry Fields back to life.
Yes.
It's true.
That's magic.
And Donald Pleasance is like kind of a Satan figure. You're making a deal with the devil-ish.
Right.
Right.
A pact like Ursula the Sea Witch.
Even like Maxwell Silverhammer has got some weird like supernatural stuff going on.
Right. I don't know. I might have to go five.
Five. Is that what you're going to give it? Not trying to.
A person comes back
anyway.
To life.
You just said it that way.
A person comes back to
true.
Life.
That's true. So you're, all right, a five. John, what are you going to do?
I'm giving it a four.
I almost gave it four. A four. I almost gave it a four, but I just didn't want to give in to Mark. I didn't want to give in to him.
Why start now, Pam? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a three. It's not when I think of Sergeant Pepper, I'm not going to think it's the witchiest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. All right, next category. For 0 to 5%, how Korean is Sergeant Pepper and the Lonely Hearts Club Band?
Hmm. Zero?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to think we have to go zero on that one.
I don't think it's very Korean at all. All right, then the next category. Felt. How felty?
I'd say there's felt. I'd say there's a fair amount of felt.
Strawberry's hat.
Sandy Farina's hat when she runs away. That's super felty. Mm.
Was she anybody? Who is she? Are we supposed to know who she is?
I looked her up.
Well,
she
got introducing credits. So.
Yeah, it's like Sandy Fontina or something.
Farina.
But I was like, how is she? It should be like Linda Ronstadt or something. Like,
right.
Yeah,
why?
Absolutely.
Why? Who is this person and how did she get this part?
And get her off my TV.
Who is this person?
She
How did she
fine.
Get? She was fine, and she was fine. But and
well, everyone is given
like
nothing
nice.
To do.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe they
yeah.
were like,
yeah.
"Oh, she's so
it wasn't unpleasant,
innocent."
But it wasn't interesting.
It was why wasn't it someone who's like an amazing star?
Vocalist.
Yeah,
singer.
Already.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
A Mama Cass.
I mean, you know, anybody. Oh my gosh.
We've got Frampton. We can. The world is our
That's
oyster.
That's what's so
at this point.
Weird. Like, there's all these huge stars, and it's this like, why is she in it? I don't understand. It's so weird.
So, what do you want to give it for felt, Pam?
She wrote a song for Barbra Streisand, though.
Sandy
oh,
Farina.
Yes.
What song?
I forget. I don't know.
I love that one.
Love trivia.
But it was after this. But it was after this. So maybe she was like a songwriter that they knew or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what am I giving it for felt? I'd say, well, I mean, I'm also like taking into consideration like those clown costumes and the big procession and stuff like that.
As you should.
So I'm going to say four.
Yeah.
Say four.
A four.
I'm going to go 4.5 on felt.
4.5.
Another fraction. Nice.
I'm going to go four. I think any movie from the 70s does well in felt and now bulges.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, there are
really
no gay
roles.
So.
Zero? It's got to be zero.
We have to go zero.
That's why it's a bonus. All right. Zeros across the board, tied with Ginger Snaps and Top Gun. All right. Next category. Themes of mothers.
There's some. I mean, Strawberry and her mom have a sort of tumultuous relationship.
For sure.
Is it tumultuous? They just get sad when she leaves. Isn't that about it?
But she runs
she
away
runs
from
away
home.
From home.
You don't just run away because things are great.
Well, no, because she's going towards her boyfriend. It seems like less about running away
but
from like a bad home life.
No, because she's specifically she's if you was just following her boyfriend, she'd be like, "Hey, I'm following my boyfriend." They'd be like, "Great, we love him," but she like specifically like sneaking out in the middle of the night, leaves a letter. Do I have to sing the song for you? You know what I mean? Like, there's something where like she's escaping. There's an escape
right.
element to her leaving.
I'll say three.
And the mom witnessed it
because it's such a small mm-hmm. part
well,
of
she...
the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a three.
Yeah, I'll go two.
Two. I'll go one.
Mm.
All right, next category. A feels song. Is there a song in Sgt. Pepper that puts you in your feels?
Yes, five.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Now, which one?
I think Long and Winding Road.
Long
I think...
Winding.
Now, are you saying the versions in the movie or the songs themselves?
I think that is a fine cover. I don't think it's like one of the better songs, but I also think the... Golden Slumbers, which is the
yes.
You're going to carry that weight. That's another song that can really put you in your feels.
Yeah.
That's so rude to like pick up a woman when she's dead and then say, carry that weight.
Yeah.
In her coffin.
It's a little too on the nose.
So
yeah.
rude. Can you imagine?
I think even that song.
She's like, I'm 105 pounds. I do so much cocaine. I hardly weigh anything.
The glass coffin weighs more than she does.
You have to put
Those
rocks
who live
in my
glass
pocket.
Coffins shouldn't throw stones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are definitely songs that are put you in your feels. I think even both of her songs, she sings what? Here Comes the Sun?
Yeah.
And what's the other one she sings? Strawberry Fields, probably.
Yeah. So what are you giving it, John?
I'll give it a 4.5.
4.5.
Feather fraction.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 2, and that's pretty much just for... Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Billy Preston. Mm-hmm. Those are the only times I felt a little bit of glimmer of life. All right. Next category. Gossip. Was there any moments when you watched Sergeant Pepper and said, that's gossip?
Well, there was like, who is, there's no sort of like mystery speaking stuff. There's not a lot of speaking, so that's tough. But like when someone runs away from home, there's always like, buzz, buzz, where'd she go?
The robots are kind of being like, look, what's going on? Look, she's running away.
Yeah, that's very gossipy.
That's
that gossip or like, so an alarm system is gossipy?
Well, yeah. But they're not, the way that they're doing it is very gossipy.
Yeah.
They're kind of very gossipy about it. I'll give it a two for gossip.
A two.
I'll give it a two for gossip as well.
A two. I'm going to give it a zero. I did not get any sense of gossip.
You didn't get any sense of gossip? Okay.
No sense of gossip.
No gossip. All right. Finally, this is all or nothing. For 15% bonus, was there a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Zero.
No.
Absolutely
zero,
not.
Unfortunately.
Finally, negative 50%. If this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not
this
the movie.
This is not the movie.
Will not be penalized 50% of its score.
All right.
So Pam, how do you think we did now that all is said and done?
I think we did okay.
I agree. I think there's a lot of categories which we scored really high, but there are also a bunch where we didn't do well. But we'll see.
I think
so if you had to guess a number, where
we...
do you think you ended up? Give me a specific number, not a range.
A specific number in the list.
1 to 54.
One to 54. I'm gonna say 18.
18.
I'll say 14.
14. Okay. So, out of a total possible 2,541.73 points, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band has scored 1,816.40 points, giving it a percentage of 71.46, making it the 10th gayest movie ever.
Yes!
Not as gay
yes,
as
yes!
Interview with the Vampire, but gayer than Face Off.
Aha, I knew
you
it.
You said top 10.
I did initially say,
initially you said top 20.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right then, well.
How do you feel, Pam?
I feel really good about this. I feel
doesn't it
like
feel better
redeemed?
Being in the top 10 than the literal bottom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you feel, John? This was your pick. This was your queen's choice. How does it feel to be on this end of it?
I feel like it did. It did what I wanted to do. I wanted to, I wish Will was here to talk more on it. I'm very happy. I'm very proud with how this turned out. How about you, Mark? How are you feeling?
I think it's a good example of like joyless camp.
Yes.
So like just being campy isn't enough, which I think this is a test.
You need a little bit more, right?
You need a little bit more.
My closing thoughts on Sergeant Pepper's coming in number 10 is that John Flynn is a genius and knows the questions well. It doesn't feel like the gayest movie that I can think of, like that 10 seems high for it, but it does just like supercharge enough of the categories. I'm just impressed that this podcast has now gone on long enough that we are ruining the very system it has created, and I'm proud to be a part of that.
Well, Pam, you're our first returning guest. First one to stay through the entire show, at least.
Yes,
wow, that's for sure. Men can do whatever they want, huh?
Apparently. Double standard.
Straight
right?
White men.
Straight
really
white
can
men,
do
really.
They want.
The world is their oyster. They can come, they can go. Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Pam, is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this
time?
Well,
you know, I'd love to. As Will mentioned, we have a podcast. I will write your book. We have a podcast. It's ours, not his.
Thank you.
And the new season of Corporate is coming out, and I'll be in an episode of that. Also, I'm in a show called The Mapleworth Murders on Quibi.
Okay. Well, anyone who has Quibi, check that out.
What's it called? The Maplewood Murders?
Mapleworth Murders. It's a parody of Murder, She Wrote. Like, kind of a parody. It's based on, like, a Murder, She Wrote. Mm-hmm. Paula Pell, John Lutz wrote it.
Oh my goodness!
Great,
it's packed with peeps.
Wonderful! Thank you so much, Pam.
Thanks so much.
Oh my gosh! Thank you.
Always a
and you maintain your title as America's sweetheart.
Thank
that
you, thank
you.
You. Oh my gosh, thank you for having me.
And we'll
be right back. We're back.
Wow, first returning guest.
First returning guest, and one of them had to leave early. Nice.
It happens. Thank God we had a backup. Sorry. Tell Pam she's the backup, though.
No, never.
You'll never hear the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, how was it being the one to pick? Did you go through a lot of movies before you settled on Sgt. Pepper?
Well, when we came up with this idea, my thought was to, like, let's go to the people who, my initial idea was go to the people who did poorly.
Yes.
And say, give them a redemption. Give them a sense, you know, like, show them, like, here's how you can do it. Here's how you can make it. Here's how you pick a gay movie.
It's less of a redemption than more of like homework, like a class.
It was sort of like a pleasant
tutorial,
if you will. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was it. So when I said, all right, well, again, like once I knew Will was on the bottom, it's like, oh, Will loves the Beatles. Last I spoke with him about this movie, he had not seen it. So I thought, I knew this movie would do well, despite knowing what the movie was. And so I thought, like, oh, this would be a perfect example. And then also I knew Pam was near the bottom and I knew she liked the movie. So I thought, like, oh, this would be fun. And I do think they are very funny together and they have that podcast. So I thought that's how I went about doing it. So in that way, the movie was very successful. If I was just on my own going into my own podcast, I probably wouldn't have picked this movie.
You are, though.
Know what I mean? But like, if I wasn't trying to do this other thing, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I'll go differently for my second choice.
Yeah, you got one more choice.
Yet.
So, like, what would you give if you had to give Sgt. Pepper like a rating on 0 to 5 stars? What would you give it?
I mean, I get it's tough because I am biased in that, like, it is bad in a way that, like, you know how, like, if you really love a genre or a form, you'll watch badder versions of it and it's okay?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, if you really like action movies, like, a shitty action movie, you're like, oh, but it still is fun in this way. Whereas, like, you know, the A-plus version of anything, anyone's going to like.
Yes.
So I like musicals. So even though I recognize this is bad, there's a lot that they should have done better. But there are still joys in it. Like, I think the whole Lucent Sky with Diamond number is fun. I think, again, the last 10 minutes, just from Get Back to the very end, as absurd as it is fun. And there's a lot of other silly things that I enjoy, even though I recognize they're bad, but I get enjoyment out of them.
Sure.
But I would say probably like a 2 stars, maybe. Like, I don't think it's a great movie, but like somewhere between 2 and 3,
I was going to say 2 stars as well.
Okay.
Wow. So
are you angry? Are you mad at me for picking this movie?
No, not at all. I mean, it's so campy. I thought it was awesome. It was like, though, and like, oh, it's a good case of like camp without joy. You know what I mean?
That, yeah,
to me, like,
no, I agree.
You can't be just campy to be gay.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why it's only
you got to have fun doing it.
Ideally.
Yeah. I mean, apparently the Bee Gees 2 weeks into filming tried to get out of this movie.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. That's
it. They blamed it for ruining their careers in addition to the whole disco backlash.
Well, yeah, that too. But no, but this movie, though, I don't know if that's true, because apparently when they started shooting, Saturday Night Fever had not come out yet, and all the brothers had to share a trailer. And by the end of shooting, they all had their own deluxe trailer.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah, obviously the movie came out probably a year or so after that. But I don't know. I think they're being a little too hard on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Fair enough.
If they were a better band, they could have risen above it.
I mean, Bee Gees are pretty good.
They are very good.
Well, all right. So Queen's Choice continues next week. I have a pick.
Yes. You want to tell us who it is and what the movie is?
John, I would love to. Thank you so much for asking me. The guest for next week, he had the number one movie for like 6 months, maybe. Tony Rodriguez is our guest for next week.
Yes.
And the movie, directed by an actual gay person, is Batman Forever.
Yes. Very exciting.
Have you seen Batman Forever?
Of course I've seen Batman Forever.
I don't know.
It's been a while, but I've seen it.
It's been a while.
That's
okay.
True.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen it.
Should be a fun
time. I'll think it should be a musical, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
I mean, you could say that for every movie.
You could, but I don't always think that.
But you could.
All right, so let us know what you think of this series or any of the movies we've done. We love hearing from you. You can email us at 2oldqueens, that's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 2oldqueens, T-W-O, Old Queens. Or follow me on Letterboxd at Mark Rennie, where I keep a current ranking of the gayest movies with their categories and the guests. So we'll see you next week for Batman Forever.
All righty. Goodbye. It's getting better all the time.
It's getting worse.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.